Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Good morning once again. My name is Don Hamer. I am recently retired as rector of Trinity Episcopal Church in Hartford, and I was saying to the folks at the last service, as a wandering Aramean these days, I'm finding it a little difficult to be used to being in a different church every Sunday with its own nuances and the ways of doing things. We're all out of the prayer book, but everybody does something slightly different. So I appreciate your patience with me today as I miss cues and so forth. Last weekend, your elected delegates and Father Ron represented St. Peter's at the 235th Annual Convention of the Episcopal Diocese of Connecticut. And the theme of this year's convention was, "We've come this far by faith." As we celebrate this All Saints Sunday on 2019, the passages from Ephesians and from St. Luke's Gospel point us again to the way of Jesus and what it means to follow Jesus in faith. And as we renew our baptismal vows later on, it's worthwhile to reflect once again on what it means to be a saint. Let's look first at the passage from Ephesians. The first thing we see in the very first line is that we have obtained an inheritance from God. Now, inheritances, aside from the sadness that someone has passed away, inheritances are things we like to get, right? I mean, who here does not want to get a big inheritance from somebody? A little dirty secret of mine is that before I was ordained a priest, I spent 25 years practicing estates and probate law and 14 years as the probate judge in Glastonbury, presiding over cases where people were clamoring for their inheritance rights. And I can tell you that in all those years, I have yet to see the person who says, "No thanks, you can have my share." But this inheritance is not an inheritance like the one we might get from our rich Aunt Matilda. This inheritance is not a pile of money we can run out and spend on ourselves. Ephesians tells us that our inheritance from God through the life and death of Jesus Christ is so that we might live to the praise of God's glory. The writer repeats that one line later. We have been marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit in baptism. Note to self, that's what we receive in baptism. And that is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of God's glory. And a couple of verses later, we read that with our hearts and minds enlightened by the Holy Spirit, we will know the hope to which Jesus calls us, and we may know the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints. So let's see. We have this inheritance from God. That means God has given us something of value. And with that thing of value, we're supposed to use it not on ourselves, but to make sure that God is glorified among the saints. Now, who are the saints? Really holy people, right? They write stuff in the Bible. They perform miracles. They distinguish themselves in history somehow. If you look up the word saint in the dictionary, the first thing you see is something like a person formally recognized by the church for exceptional holiness in their life, or a person of great virtue, holiness, or benevolence. If they're really good, they get a day named after them. And in the Episcopal Church, they may get an article printed about them in Holy Women, Holy Men. These are exceptional, one-of-a-kind people. We begin to think of saints as someone whose performance and sanctity of life is unattainable for us. And we begin to think of saints as somebody else. And that, my friends, is a huge mistake. Because when we start thinking that only someone else can be a saint, it's the beginning of giving up that special inheritance that God gives to each and every one of us. And how does God give us that inheritance? Once again, through our baptism. It's through our baptism that we join the communion of saints, those who have gone before us, those whom we have loved in this life and see no longer, all of us who are part of Christ's church, and those who will follow us in years and decades and centuries to come. All of us together form what is known as the communion of saints. And what is our task as one of these saints? The prayer book, and if it's in the prayer book, it has to be true, right? I mean, things can appear in Scripture a dozen times and it's, maybe. But if it's in the prayer book for Episcopalians, it has to be true. And the prayer book sets out on page 855. It is to represent Christ and his church, to bear witness to him wherever they may be, and according to the gifts given them, to carry on Christ's work of reconciliation in the world, and to take their place in the life, worship, and governance of the church. Representing Christ, bearing witness to Jesus Christ wherever we may be. What does that look like? Well, a lot of things, but Luke and Jesus give us some ideas in today's gospel in Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. Whenever the poor are blessed, whenever the hungry are fed, when those who mourn can laugh or have their burden lifted, whenever we can make the world a better place, even in spite of those who may stand in the way, when we love our enemies, when we do good even to those who hate us, when we can bless those who curse us, when we can pray for those who abuse us, when we can give without ceasing. When we do any of these things, Luke tells us that we are representing Christ. We are bearing witness to Jesus Christ, following his way. And when we do that, the world cannot help but stop and take notice. That's what it takes for you and me to be saints. And that's what each one of us is called to do, whatever our gifts may be. We need to use the gifts we've got to look and act more like Jesus. St. Paul tells us that all of our gifts are different, and also tells us that all of our gifts are necessary to make the full body of Christ. But Ephesians also promises us that each and every one of us has the gifts that God desires for us to have through our baptism. We simply need to first discover them, second, acknowledge them, and three, use them to God's purpose. When we think of saints as someone else, as people set apart, as people with extraordinary abilities, it's so easy for us to tell ourselves, someone else will do it. Someone else will give glory to God. Someone else will feed the hungry. Someone else will lift up the poor. Someone else will fight injustice. Someone else will educate the children. Someone else will soothe the afflicted. Someone else will help teach church school or some other church ministry. Someone else will bring that dinner to the sick person or give the person who doesn't drive a ride to the doctor's office. Someone else will step up and tithe to the support of God's work through the church. Someone else will bring communion to the person who can't get out. Someone else will be a witness to the way of Jesus. And that, my brothers and sisters, is when we begin to walk away from that blessed and abundant inheritance that God has offered to us in the person of Jesus the Christ. And when we do that, we sell ourselves short of the people God has made us to be. And not only do we sell ourselves short, we sell our church short. And before you know it, the body of Christ doesn't look so much like Jesus anymore. Our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, has called the Episcopal Church the Episcopal branch of the Jesus movement. Those aren't just words. We in the 21st century Episcopal Church and all mainline Christian denominations are being called to recapture the excitement and the challenges that faced our oldest ancestors in the communion of saints. And this is an emerging movement throughout all of the mainline Christian churches. In the words of Franciscan priest Richard Rohr, our awareness is broadening, recognizing that Jesus was clearly teaching nonviolence, simplicity of lifestyle, peacemaking, love of creation, and letting go of ego, both for individuals and groups. More and more, he writes, Christians are now acknowledging Jesus' radical social critique to the systems of domination, money, and power. In the past, most of Jesus' practical teaching has been ignored by Catholic, Orthodox, and Protestant Christians. The established church chose instead to concentrate on private sinfulness and personal salvation, and what we might call an evacuation plan into the next life. As for this world, we have largely chosen to cloak ourselves in an institution where we could comfortably find our own niche and largely ignore those teachings of Jesus that made us feel uncomfortable. Father Rohr continues, there is a common sense and growing recognition that Jesus was clearly concerned about the specific healing and transformation of real persons and human society on earth as it is in heaven. The church, more than Jesus, historically is focused on doctrinal belief and moral stances, which ask almost nothing of us in terms of real change. They just define groups, often in an oppositional way. The inheritance that St. Paul describes is to embrace the actual life and teachings of Jesus and to mirror those through the witness of our own lives in our workplace, in our social circles, in our schools, and in our churches. That's what Jesus was sharing with the diverse and gathered crowds on that dusty plain in Palestine in the passage from St. Luke's Gospel this morning. And when we forget that, when we are more content to be comfortable in our churches than doing that important work in the world, then we're not living up to our inheritance. And we're also selling God short. We fall short of the glory God has set for us and the world, whatever our world is, misses one more opportunity to recognize Jesus in its midst. We don't do it for our own glory. We don't do it for the glory of the Episcopal Church or even the Christian Church. We do it for the glory of God, the God who has mission in the world and who has adopted us, who depends upon us to be a part of that mission. So on this All Saints Sunday, celebrate your day, renew your baptismal promises, and remind yourselves that we, each of us, are heirs to God's grace and blessing and calling, and that inheritance brings with it a responsibility, our responsibility to look more like Jesus, to witness to his love, to shine the light of Christ into the darkness of this world. I pray this day that each of us will look a little bit more like Jesus each and every day. Amen.